I will be reading Matthew 25, verses 37 through 46. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for me, for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.
If you've ever seen a pint of blood, you know that when it's in that little bag, it doesn't look like a whole lot. But you know what that pint of blood can do? It can do some amazing things. You know, it can save the lives of up to 3 people. Your red cells might go to a trauma victim. The platelets in your blood might go to someone who is fighting cancer. And the plasma in your blood may go to help someone who's a burn victim. It's amazing how much power to heal and to help is in something so small as a pint of blood. And what the Bible tells us over and over again is that little things mean a lot. Little things mean a lot. And so in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, well, it's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Dear friends, this is the way the kingdom of God operates. Something very, very small, something very, very tiny, can have an incredibly amazing impact on the world. So when we look in the scripture that God has selected for us today, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, what we hear Jesus saying to us are 6 ways that people help other people. 6 specific ways. They're not necessarily big things. In some respects, they're very, very small things. But what an incredible difference they make. And so Jesus says these words, "For I was hungry and you gave something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Now, none of these actions, these 6 actions, describe a miracle. None of these 6 actions describe anything that's incredibly dramatic that you'd see on television. Today, we're thinking about the needs that exist in West Virginia with flooding. We're thinking about the wildfires that are encompassing so much of the far west, and the need for us to pray and to lift up these circumstances. This is what's occupying our news right now. But some of these things that we're reading about here in Matthew 25, well, these are the news reports that are being heard in heaven. The things that people are doing, which are so tiny by comparison, but make such an impact on the lives of people. The actress Sarah Drew, who's appeared on Grey's Anatomy and in the film Mom's Night Out, had this to say about her new role. Her new role is the role of mother. The stay-at-home mom has the terrifying holy charge of raising up little eternal beings into people who will encounter the world either through kindness and grace or with malice and indifference. I cannot think of a more important job, and yet our culture rolls our eyes at these women. Our culture says they've given up on doing anything important with their lives. The greatest thing motherhood is teaching me is how to be present. It's very easy for me to get buried in my phone, to check emails and texts in my Twitter feed. When I am not present in my life, I miss out on the beauty that is surrounding me. I forget to be grateful and instead whine and complain about how things aren't going to plan. Meanwhile, my son, who is fully present, is busy laughing with glee at the leaves he's chasing and the game he has invented. Those are the little things, being a mom, being a dad. In the kingdom of God, it makes a big difference when we care for our family. But you know, when we care for those people who are outside of our family, what we're doing is something that's very unexpected. When we give food or medical help or mercy, we're surprised to learn something. We're actually giving it to Jesus Christ. In this teaching that the Lord is giving us in Matthew 25, the king, at the very moment of judgment, is identifying himself as these brothers and these sisters. He's identifying himself as the recipient of the help, and that these individuals are his brothers and his sisters. And so what this does is it brings great shock and surprise to those who are standing on his right at the time of judgment. And the question that comes from all of them who served God and didn't have any idea they were serving God was, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When was that? In verse 40, the king answered, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me. So Jesus is clearly identifying these individuals as his brothers and his sisters. Friends, this is one of the most important but understated biblical principles. We see it in the book of Proverbs in chapter 19. We're told that when someone is kind to the poor, that they lend to the Lord. You see, whatever we do for someone else, we do it for God. That is such an incredibly important principle of God's holy word. And in order to enact that principle in our lives, what we have to do is we have to see God in the people who are all around us. We have to especially see God in the people that we would like to pass by and go our separate way. Once when Jesus was teaching people, he was told by some of the people in the room that his mother and his brothers wanted to speak with him. Do you remember that day? What Jesus said was so striking and also shocking. Jesus said, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. What an amazing thing for the Lord to say. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. You think that's my family, but let me tell you who my real family is. They're the ones who do the will of God. Now, there was a man who was standing outside, one of the brothers of Jesus. His name was James. He would later go on to write what we refer to as the Epistle of James. And in that epistle, in the second chapter, in the 22nd verse, he made it clear that faith without deeds is dead. And so, dear friends, what we're learning from God's word today is there are plenty of people who say they are Christians, but if their lives are not demonstrating these types of help, these principles of sharing with others, their faith is dead. Their faith is meaningless. Their faith is without substance because they are not doing the will of God. In verse 45 of Matthew 25, Jesus makes it clear that when we don't serve people, we're not serving him. And what it should remind us of is the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, some people just walk right on by. What are they waiting for? You know, we don't need a bolt of lightning, do we, in order to do the things that God wants us to do? No, we just need to begin. You know, when Mother Teresa first arrived in Calcutta in India, people from all the religious charities and the government organizations had this message for Mother Teresa. Can you imagine what they said? They said that everything that was needed for the poor was already being done. But that did not stop her. No, that did not discourage her. She began. What got her started was carrying dying beggars off the street into a tiny hospice building. And you know what? In her entire lifetime, she rescued over 30,000 people. And one day, someone said to Mother Teresa, "How did you ever help so many?" And the answer she gave was amazing. She said, "If I hadn't carried the first one, I couldn't have carried the 30,000. What we all have to do is start. We all have to start somewhere. We all have to begin. Now today we recognize when we think about families that some people come from difficult family situations. Their families are broken. Their families are hurting. Their families are stretched beyond measure. But what they discover is that Jesus Christ puts us into a family with Him. And they rejoice when they realize this because the family of Jesus Christ is the most amazing family to belong to. That is a present reward every day in which we're a member of the family of God. Now, if we look back in our Bibles in Matthew 25, all the way to the 34th verse, we hear Jesus describe the future reward for serving. And this is what He says. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." This is the reward that's promised to us, an inheritance. The question some people may ask is, do I have to do something great in order to receive this inheritance? And the answer is no. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 42, Jesus says, "If anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciples, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." A cup of cold water is the indication that you are following the plan that Jesus Christ has for you. And so the question is, do we help people? Followers of Jesus help people. It's a matter of the heart. And so the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Listen, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. He's the recipient of all that you are doing. Our reward for a heart dedicated in service is to live forever in heaven with the Lord. Now, since it's an inheritance, we don't have it yet, but we have it to look forward to. And you know, when you look at the wide view of this chapter, when you look back into the 32nd verse of Matthew chapter 25, you find a very important detail of the judgment. And that is that all the nations are gathered. All the nations are gathered. We're living in a week in which all the nations seem to be divided. We're living in a time in which people seem to be broken and not gathered. But when it comes time for judgment, everyone's going to be brought to the table. And what this means for us in Matthew chapter 25 is that everybody in the world is held to the same standard. There's one standard for all of us. And everyone is able to do this. Not just the rich or the highly educated or the people who walk on the red carpet. Oh, no. These categories for service, the giving of food, the giving of water, the giving of clothing, the opportunities that we have to visit people who are sick and those who are in prison, these opportunities for ministry and care and love are things that everyone in the room may do and can do. You know, giving blood is like that. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you are. The blood in that little bag is the same. The type may differ, but the value is the same. It's incredible. But you know what? There's just one problem with giving blood. There's just one little problem with giving blood. Every 8 weeks, we have to go back and give some more. Because there's never enough. But in the case of Jesus, well, that wasn't necessary. Jesus gave his blood. And even though the volume of it was limited, the impact was unlimited. It was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. What the Bible tells us in 1 Peter is that it was a sacrifice that was made for everyone. And we know from God's word that it was once and for all, never having to been offered again, the blood of Jesus Christ. I think back in our American history to a time of crisis, the time of the Watergate cover-up during the years of President Nixon's presidency, and a turning point for one of the individuals who was incarcerated as a result of his participation in the conspiracy was Charles Colson. Charles Colson came to the Lord, but he still had to go to prison. While he was in prison, Charles Colson had a defining moment. In that moment, he was looking around at all the other prisoners, and he thought to himself that he was superior to the car thieves and the dope dealers and the murderers. But then he found himself in his prison cell reading from the Bible in the second chapter of Hebrews, where he read these words, "In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers." And then he looked into the eyes of those car thieves and those drug dealers, those criminals, and he discovered something. They were brothers of Jesus. They were brothers of Charles Colson. Those inmates were his brothers. Years later, after he founded and developed Prison Fellowship, Charles Colson was on a tour where he was speaking at various prisons in North Carolina. And he went to Raleigh. The night before Charles Colson was to speak at a women's prison, he checked into his hotel room and saw a CNN report about New York prisoners who had AIDS. And what he heard about was a home that was established by none other than Mother Teresa and her order. And the question that was addressed to Mother Teresa in 1985 was this: why should we care about criminals with AIDS? Her answer was that they had been created in God's image and needed to know God's love. And then as Chuck watched this news report, he knew something in his own heart that was hard to admit, and that was he did not want to have to deal with anyone who had AIDS. The next day, the warden asked Charles Colson if he would visit a prisoner by the name of Bessie Shipp. "Who is Bessie Shipp?" Chuck asked. The answer was, "Well, Bessie, she has AIDS, and she's in isolation. It's Christmas time, and no one has come to visit her." Charles Colson hesitated, and then he remembered the words of Mother Teresa, that they had been created in God's image and needed to know his love. And so he and the chaplain walked through all the doors that led to this woman who was in isolation, and they sat down next to her, and after a few moments he asked this simple question of Bessie: "Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And she looked up at him and said, "No, I don't. Not yet." And then the two of them talked, and after a few moments he reached out to this AIDS woman and held her hand. And she opened up her heart and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior and her Lord. Because he did what Jesus said. He visited those who were in prison. And then 3 weeks later, she passed and went to be with the Lord forever because of God using Charles Colson. She lives with the Lord forever. And this, dear friends, is the implication of everything that we're thinking about today. That someone may go to heaven because of the food that you give, or the water that you give, or the clothing that you give, or the visit that you make. You see, when we serve Jesus' family, his sisters and his brothers, what we're doing is we're serving Jesus. Will we serve Jesus? Let's pray. Father, this incredible moment before us, a time of decision to serve you by serving others. It's so hard. But with your Holy Spirit, we know that we'll have the words to say. And with your power, we know that we'll have the strength to do anything, anywhere that you lead us. And so be glorified, Lord, in our lives as we commit ourselves to serving you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the privileges of being in God's kingdom is knowing that we're part of something very, very diverse. People from all over the world are praising and loving our Lord on this day. And so we know that in Christ there is no East or West. Let's stand to sing and give glory to God. If you have a need for prayer, one of our deacons or deaconesses will meet you in the front.